Blog Talk Radio.
We are here. Matter of fact, perfect timing for my friend Dawn to be starting our radio show. I didn't do any extra musical stuff, so I had a 10-second intro, and I just played that. And you are here. Now, you're probably scrambling, so you might need a little bit of time to settle in and recover. So
no, I had a great meeting. I'm going to have to send you something. Do you mind if I just start talking? Do you have an intro, like a speak intro, or did you just play something?
I just played a little bit of music only because I didn't do anything. Because you remember we were going to, oh, by the way, for those people who might listen in, this is the Dash Radio. So you're hearing a conversation between Dawn and I. We decided to restart the Dash Radio. Well, actually, we've always wanted to do the Dash Radio since it was like 2012. Life gets in the way and other things get in the way too. We'll kind of explain that stuff again. But over the last couple of years, we've been talking about starting the Dash Radio all over again, and we finally came to the conclusion that we just start. So that was last week that we just started. So if you go to blogtalkradio.com/the-, if you do that now, you'll be able to hear the recent radio shows and all the past radio shows as well. But as we are getting started, we're kind of like pulling everything out of the attic, and we had intros and commercials, and we had a whole bunch of stuff, and you know, life gets still in the way, so I don't think we pulled anything out of the attic yet. So I just popped in a little 10-second musical thing that I usually use sometimes if I need a little mental break, that's what we just did. So for our Dash listening audience, you know, welcome to being here, and we're going to continue our conversation. So Dawn, so go ahead, like, let's have at it.
Well, just got a really sad email from Linda Ellis, who wrote the poem, The Dash, that her mom passed. So her mother passed away. Linda Ellis's mom. Yeah. So I had asked her if she would come on to the show, and I just went to check and I just saw. So we're going to have to send more to her. But Linda, yeah, if you hear the show, just know that our prayers are with you, sis. And
she's got her own dash personally, yep, to deal with, and I'm sure she's dealt with many, but this is a tough one.
It's tough stuff. Yeah.
Yep.
Okay, so let me reset my brain. I'm involved with a project that I have fallen in love with, and it's called Dialect. And I'm going to send it to you, Peter, and I'm going to put up like an invite somewhere that everybody can get. We have not gotten a page up yet. I'll go ahead and figure something out. I'll put it up on Twitter or do something. We do have the Dash Radio Twitter. So maybe I'll put some information up there. We'll get started at least with Twitter. But Dialect is this really cool app. And you know that I'm into NFTs and the whole crypto sphere. And I know that you also like crypto. And so I was, you know, I just was involved with some people who, you know, launched this really cool mobile app, and I became one of the beta testers. And I was honored with a request to do an input and feedback session on Zoom with one of the founders. And he contacted me, and they reached out and asked if I would do a Zoom. And this is the first time I got to lay eyes on this guy. And live in New York, so, you know, my people. And then what these are, and I don't know if you've ever played Pokemon Go, but I'm an addict. And because Liam asked me to get him a Pokemon, and I had downloaded the app, you know, a couple of years ago. And so I got really hooked, right? I'm hooked on this game. And so I go out and I drive around and I spend stops and I walk and I collect these Pokemon and then I battle with them. It is a whole thing. It is a very complex whole thing. I do this with, you know, 30 and up, 40 and up players, like, that are local to me. It's really very serious and it is very fun and I love it. People take it very seriously, though. The collections are huge. Well, so fast forward, you know, to recently, this year, I got involved and I hopped into Dialect and I became one of the people in there. And all of my favorite NFT artists, Web3 digital artists, started to drop these collections of stickers. Many of them are animated. And this app is going viral. It is very much the same vibe that the people who like to collect art, you know, and collect Pokemon and collect digital assets would love this. It is so much fun. And I met with them and I want to work with this project. This is fun. Like, I was actually Googling, okay, how can I actually work in the field from here for Pokemon? Because I love it. It's so much fun. Like, I am at the place in my life after the shit show that I've been through that I want to have fun again when I work. And I used to have fun when I worked. Yeah, I really thought life was fun. But you know, work was fun. You know, I won't do things if they're a grind. I'm maybe just a spoiled brat, but I know I'm a spoiled brat, but my second cousin, told me a long time ago that her mother had told her that the key to life was finding what you absolutely love to do and then find a way to get paid exceptionally well for it. Whether that's a job or that is a business and I took it very seriously. I I've committed my life to that. Like, if I'm not enjoying it and I'm not having fun doing it, then I don't want to do it. I mean, I watch people just, you know, it's the whole dash thing, you know, like that dash between those 2 years, you know, people spend so much time doing work they hate for money. And I'm just not willing to do that. I have to love what I do and get paid really well to do it, or I'm not down. I'm not for it. And how do you feel about that? Do you love what you do?
Well, I grew up a little different because when I was in direct sales, I graduated from college and then I was in the management training program with Electrolux. And then I was in direct sales, and I sold vacuum cleaners. So I remember I quit probably my couple of weeks in. My manager, Joe, I went in, and I actually quit. Now, by the way, if you were someone that Joe didn't really care about, you could leave your equipment that you consigned at the door. And Stella and Al, Stella was the secretary. Al was the other one. He was a service manager, would take them in. But I wanted to quit. And when I went to quit, Stella says, oh, no, you're not allowed to return your equipment. I said, what do you mean I'm not allowed to return my equipment? I'm quitting. And she said, no, you can't. You have to talk to Joe. And I said, Stella, I've seen him let all the other people leave their equipment over here. Why do I have to? I just want to quit. Like, what are you doing this to me? No, sweetheart. You know, she was that Stella Valerakis. Got to like it. She was the Greek gal, you know, and her husband was Gus. What the hell else would his name be? So they didn't let me quit. So in my meeting with Joe where I was going to quit, because I was going to quit, and Joe said to me, you know, whatever, and I told him, no, I could feel like quitting. He says, Peter, you're going to feel like quitting at least three times. Now, by the way, Joe was really good and he was excellent, but he also could be a comedian. So he says, you're going to feel like quitting three times. And I said, three times? Like, that's a lot of times to think about quitting a job. And then he said, a day. I said, what the fudge? What the hell do I want to do this for if I'm going to quit three times a day? And he said, listen, this is a tough business, but it pays really well when you get it right. And there's going to be lots of things that happen all the time. So my mentality that I was trained is I had to do a lot of stuff that I didn't like doing. So it was successful people do the things that failures refuse to was my attitude. So I did a lot of things that I didn't like to do, certainly didn't love to do, but it was kind of necessary if you wanted to succeed in that field. So it was a different mindset. So I know where you're coming from because
no, it would be really great.
There is no
thing that is always fun. There's always hard parts to any business. And I completely agree that, you know, successful people do the things that failures refuse to do. There's a million things, right? But if you don't have, I mean, there's also joy that comes from just doing something really, really well, right? And, you know, overcoming obstacles and achieving what, you know, you set out to do. Inside, they say that, you know, everything that we currently have is our comfort zone. Everything that we want is outside of our comfort zone, and that there's this wall, and it is called discomfort, right? That we have to actually push through to achieve whatever we don't have. And so I am comfortable with feeling nauseous and uncomfortable and growing. And, like, I learned everything there was from, like, it was a whole new language. Web3 is something when Alex told me that he wanted to pursue a career in Web3, I said, okay, babe, let's go do that. What's Web3? And he said, well, it's NFTs. And I'm like, what's an NFT? Like, this is where I was when he told me about this. And I'm like, non-fungible, what the hell's fungible, right? And I'm Googling definitions, trying to land and get my head around something that has nothing tangible in the physical realm, right? And I'm a high-tech, high-touch person. So it's like, I can understand selling physical products in a shopping cart. I can understand digital art, but I'm like, wait a minute. JPEGs are going for $700,000 in Sotheby's? Where have I been? I've been under a rock, right? And so some of the stuff, it was so, I guess, etheric that it was very difficult for me to grasp. But I'm tactile, right? I'm a do, touch, and learn human, right? So I minted a deck of cards, actually. My first mint of an NFT was a bicycle playing card deck NFT animated because I'm a New York Italian and we play cards, right? That's it. I learned to count on a cribbage board. My 5x tables were like, you know, on lock because I played cribbage with my grandfather and my dad. And I played cards, right? I just remember cards from the time I was a little kid. Like, if I could sit at a table and hold the cards, we were playing cards, right? My grandmother, her sister, and, like, everybody in my family played cards. So my whole life I played cards. So Alex saw that the bicycle playing card company was launching an NFT collection. And so that was my first NFT. It was, like, right in my roots. I love art. I didn't go to art school, but I have a really good eye for value. I'm the person who walks by and says, ooh, that's gorgeous. And it's like $600. And then when I go back to get it and I have the money, it's like $18,000 3 months later. That's my eye, right? So I've had that kind of a thing. So, you know, all of a sudden I got to look at, you know, pretty pictures and pay for them with magical internet money and then sell them for more magical internet money. And I thought, this is amazing. Of course, it went from what is called bull market my first 90 days, you know, and then it hit bear market in crypto, which for anybody who doesn't know what the bear and the bull are, bear market means People build and they grind in the bear. There's not a lot of money flowing. There, you know, people aren't, you know, just magically making a huge amount of profit and 100 times their money. But in, when it's bull market, it's called the bull run, like the run of the bulls in Italy. And it, everything just goes to the moon. You know, you can buy low, sell high, and, you know, people are making 100,000 times profit. So that's the terminology that I'm using. But I love art, right? I love the idea of being able to get behind artists and buy, like, either one-of-one works of art or, you know, minting in a collection. And that's really cool because, like, you click the button and you don't know what you're going to get, and sometimes you hit the jackpot. And it's got that, you know, what's the prize in the Cracker Jack box going to be kind of thing. It has a lot of excitement, and it moves really fast, and it's super adrenaline driving. And I'm, you know, I have ADHD, so it's perfect for me because it moves really fast, and I don't get bored, and I get to look at pretty pictures, and you know, it's all that stuff. But there's so much toxicity and negativity in the space, and it's like a lot of kids, right, that are, you know, sitting on $500,000 in crypto that their parents don't know about in their dorm rooms while living off of their parents. And they think they know something and are like 20 and they have the, you know, hippie attitudes of their teens and the egos of getting lucky and having a bunch of money and being in college, but they don't have any of the losses and they don't have anything to lose, and they don't have any responsibility yet. So that's just who you're dealing with and talking to, you know. So it's a very disrespectful industry, and it's also like being in 1970, 1980 in the misogynistic space, because it was all dudes, all young guys. And so women have started to really penetrate the space, and, you know, women, you know, the glass ceiling. I've been punching that ceiling for a long time, so I don't really, but it's like, just like, oh my God, do I really want to deal with this level of human communication with people that are like this? Because they're hiding behind these monkey pictures, which I have a monkey there, but I haven't hidden behind it. I've done, you know, live video of me. But it's also like, you know, you give anonymity to an age group of people who are, you know, living that life. And they feel like they can just say anything because there's no repercussions, because nobody even knows their real identity, right? So there's like, it's a double-edged sword. There's a very, it's fun and it's exciting and exhilarating and it moves fast. And, you know, people aren't, it's like, you know, when people are out drinking at a bar on a Friday night and it's dark and they're not in their hometown, they can behave any way they want because nobody knows who they are. And as long as they don't get arrested, nobody will, right? Like, they can be on their worst behavior, and it's kind of like that when people hide behind pictures and don't disclose their true identities. And then, you know, people will go ahead and they'll dox each other and then try to hurt each other with their own identities by disclosing their identities to everybody else and then saying horrible things about them. So it's like, you know, it's just very base. And so the joy leads, right? Like, so I was having a lot of fun, and then all of a sudden I wasn't having fun anymore. And I know that in the next bull run I can make a lot of money and do, you know, and I do have some really great friendships and relationships that are very honest and open, that I do Zooms with people, and, you know, they know my life and my history, and I know theirs, and, you know, they get me. But, you know, we've been in network marketing for 25 years. And it was all about that person-to-person connection and actively knowing who people were. And, you know, that it was, I miss the real relationships and the I don't know if it's the physical product so much, because I love the digital, but I feel like that human-to-human connectivity gets lost there, and that it's not, like, you know, I love plants, right? I grow plants. I grow, like, thousands of plants. I feel like, you know, in, am I still here?
You're doing fine. Yep, you're here. Oh, shoot. She dropped off. She was here and then she dropped off. Crap. We'll go get her. We will go get her. We'll see if she's coming back in. Here she comes. Let's go see.
Peter, how long was I talking to myself? Have I been gone long?
Oh, no, you were fine until you said, am I still here? So I was listening the whole time. I had you on mute because my son was coming home and the dogs were barking in the background. So I couldn't hit it on mute fast enough. You were here the whole time.
Oh, okay. No, because all of a sudden my computer was just sleeping.
Mom, now
like,
you may have dropped... Your computer may have dropped off. That's why you asked. But
yes,
we heard you during that whole time. So we had everything.
Good. Okay, good. I was like, I rambled for too long.
No. This is fine. Right around this time is when my son comes home from work, and then we have the two dogs that lose their mind.
Yes.
So, you know,
okay.
And I heard a little bit. It sounded like there was a dog in your background, too. So
yeah.
Like, oh, maybe there's
they
one
start
less,
rumbling.
Maybe there's one less mailman. Yeah, there you go. You know, the cool thing is that's the benefit of working from home, is that's the kind of background noise that you'd want to hear. And so I'm okay with that.
I am too. And anyways, you know, I didn't mean to ramble too hard, but I think... Like,
you're doing fine.
Yeah, I just feel like there's got to be fun and good people. You're always going to deal with, you know, the occasional apple. You're going to have to deal with... you know, the door slam in your face or the bad day or, you know, and everything is grind, you know, and there's always a ton to learn to really excel at anything. But I'm not opposed to work, right? I love productivity. It's something that I don't do anything small. You know, some people have a plant hobby and have a few house plants, you know, and then, you know, I learned to propagate 40, you know, I propagate 48 plants a week, you know, I mean, there's no room for the plants. And, you know, and I'm like, okay, well, I love to make outdoor dreamscapes and take a blank canvas of, you know, somebody's space and fill it with plants and water features and fire features. And, you know, I would love to do some of this kind of design, and I would love to do, you know, like, I have several things. I love to speak. It is, you know, I am a communicator. So, you know, everything that I do has to have something that really lights me up and gives me joy, because I feel like life is too short. And, I mean, it's all a grind at times. It's all... I don't feel like doing that today. Okay, we'll get up and do it anyway. You know, I don't feel like talking to anybody today, or I don't feel like dealing with plants today, or, oh my God, mealybugs or spider mites. I mean, you know, there's always something about anything that you don't want to have to do. You know, if you want to be good at it, you got to deal with it. You got to do it.
Absolutely. Yeah, anything worthwhile is, you know, you know you're going to have to push through.
Yeah.
So one of the things that I learned early on is that, you know, my manager used to say to me, you know, that's why this pays so well. This pays so well because a lot of people aren't willing to do these things. And, I mean, whether it's anything that you do, you're probably going to have to, you know, work through stuff. And here's what I don't know. I don't know whether that you're born into that or whether that's something that's learned or whether it's something that's not inside a person. So, like, I'll use as an example. In my family, like, my mom, we had 5 kids. My sister was born mentally retarded, so my mom, and that's not like, that was the way people used to describe them way back then. So, and I had some health issues as well. When I was born, I had a club foot. So my mom was, and, you know, she was either a house mom or she worked as well. She worked her tail off, and there was something about us, even my dad, we're working machines. I mean, we're working machines. We're built to work. And it's kind of like we don't sit down and kind of chill. Because if we're chilling, we're working on chilling. Like, we chill hard. You know what I mean? Like, everything that we do is done that way. And I don't, like, my mom is always that way. My dad was that way. My brother was that way. My sister was that way. I'm that way. That's just who we are. And I don't know if we were born into it, like, it, you know, or whether it's genetic or what it is. But now I know a whole bunch of other people that are not that way at all. I mean, oh, my God, they're like sloths. And I apologize to the sloth, but they just kind of, you know, they're just kind of there.
I do.
They're like sloths. They're like sloths.
They told me that, you know, they just go to work and they do the least amount that they can do for their check. And I'm like,
right.
I don't even know. I don't, you know, I've just always been somebody who hustles. Right? Like,
yep.
I was in the bar and restaurant hospitality reality. I then, you know, as an EMT, I volunteered 700 hours my first year on ambulances. And I worked in the emergency room, and I had a toddler, you know. So it's like my body doesn't have the capacity that it used to. And, you know, with the PTSD that my brain and emotional reality has, you know, had to confront, you know, mental health issues from trauma, a lot of trauma. You know, there are things about me that are not, like, I will go hide in a video game because somebody has just triggered some things that, you know, been so unkind and so harsh and so ugly that I just, you know, withdraw. I didn't used to do that, but that's something relatively new for me. But at the same time, I only have small windows that I cannot be hyper-focused and hyper-productive. Even when I game, right? I am a hyper-productive, goal-oriented human being that must achieve excellence and success. So if it's a game, I have to be great at it. Like, and I mean, for Minecraft, I remember I came home and I kind of just was so deer in headlights when I first came home, and speaking full sentences was challenging for me. I was like, really, I was glitched. Like, your computer glitches, I glitched, and I glitched often. So I glitch now still, but I don't glitch near as often or as completely. Anyways, so when I first came onto Minecraft, have you ever played this game, Peter?
No, I don't. I've never played video games, period. That was
ever?
One thing that I've never got. Yeah, never. I mean, my video games ever were like Pong. Like,
okay,
Pong.
Well, that was a minute ago, Peter.
Yeah, that was. And by the way, just so you know, I have a retro room in my house where we have the original Pong.
Sorry.
So I have, like,
yeah,
the game controllers,
the
all that stuff. Nobody
playing.
Wants to do it. I thought it would be so cool for my kids to check it out. They never did it. They never did it.
Too.
Yes, I got the original Atari.
Oh, man.
Like, I got one. It's all set up.
When I come to Florida, I will be playing in that retro room with you.
I mean, I got the TV that's 4 feet thick. You know that one. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like, yeah, I know the one. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
And the wooden table stand. I'm ready to go. Like,
you know,
I got controllers.
I've been gaming since Pong, and my dad was in tech, right? He was the chief information officer of Elizabeth Arden before he became a consultant and then retired. But all the way up, he brought home the first cell phone in a very large briefcase. Had to have entire luggage to carry the first cell phone, right? And
bag phone.
I was doing data entry in high school when computers had to have entire rooms to fit them in. But I just always been into tech, and my dad brought home the first games, and I've loved gaming. But I never really was a gamer. There would be a game that would come along. I think the Atari games, of course, you know, we used to play those games for hours and hours and hours, and so much fun with my family. And then I think the first game I became completely had to beat it addicted to was Zelda on Nintendo. And then it was, I like the puzzles, right? Another family thing. My mom and I always did jigsaw puzzles and crossword puzzles with my grandfather. And so puzzles, chess was always my game. So I think that it's part of my DNA, gaming. And my son is, he's a gamer streamer. And so I think that it just kind of evolved. I would get a game and I would play it until I beat the game. And then, it would be a year or two before the next game that I went, oh, okay, this one, I'll play this one. And I would play that game. So when I came home, my son and my husband, Alex and John, said, she won't play Minecraft. You think she'll play Minecraft? And, we get into this game, and they told me to go twerk on a tree. And I said, did you just tell me to go twerk on a tree with this character? And they said, yeah, go twerk on that tree. It was on Minecraft Skyblock. There were these little tiny things that you could do to the tree to grow faster or this or that. And so I went and I twerked on the tree, and I was hooked, right? I would spin around in circles and have no idea how to go up and down a ladder. It was like the family joke for quite some time during live streams about, it's going to take mom a minute. She has to get down that ladder. I would try to get up and down this ladder over and over. But inevitably, a year later, we had our own Minecraft servers with 100 people building from all around the world, these glorious, beautiful builds. So if you've ever heard of Metaverse, a bunch of people from all over the world signed on to a Minecraft server, and these blocks of all different types of blocks that you can place and building massive trees and beautiful. I mean, it's literally, Peter, you chop down a tree and you create a boat. You can punch a tree first to get the wood, take a wood axe, and you upgrade to materials of stone and then metals, and all of these things have, more strength. You're a little person, and like there's seas, and there's like oceans and mountains and all these different biomes, and you can choose where you want to go, and there's beautiful like cracked savannas with waterfalls and lava flows, and I mean, it's just being in a metaverse in a different world. You're in it, and people from all over the world come to the world, and you can set the parameters of how big the world is, and sorry about the dogs, you can just get lost in there, and you can build and mine and I'm on a show. Anyways, it's a fascinating thing, And I mean, even that, you know, was really hard at first. And then, you know, we had a server. And we built an amazing world. Hold on. I'm going to deal with them. You talk. Hey! Stop it! Did I just unmute to yell at my dogs? Peter.
Oops, I'm here. You could yell at your dogs because you're not like yelling at your dogs. You're just talking to your dog.
No, I yelled at my dogs, but I thought I'm unmuted to yell at my dogs.
I don't know.
Anyways, there's a lot of, what do you do for your free time? What do you,
you know,
what,
I don't,
what do you do?
I don't know what I do. I have a family. So, you know, cleaning is, which is cleaning up, maybe not even cleaning, is a perpetual chore. So because I work so much, I find that I don't do a lot of other stuff. Especially when I stopped having the beach house. So as a dad, you know, having three kids and I was working 6 days a week. So there was sometimes even seven. There was really no free time for anything other than just kind of catching up and doing stuff around the house and all that other sort of stuff as well. So when I find that I do have relaxing time is when we moved down to Florida, I wound up renting a beach home as my home-based business outside of my home. And once I had the beach, oh, my God, like that's all I needed. So now I still had kids, so I was still cleaning up the beach house. But the reality was is that all I need is sand and, you know, a fishing pole or a cast net, and I can get lost in that. So I love the beach. Like, I am a beach guy. Now, in Florida where we are, by the way, if anybody wants to see the beach I'm talking about, if you go to flaglerbeach.tv, so flaglerbeach.tv is my domain name, and we pull a web feed in from the pier, you'll be able to see the beach that I'm talking about. But the Flagler Beach around me is totally different than anything else I've ever been around. Like when we were in New York, Dawn, you know, it was a full day, hour and a half just to get to Jones Beach, you know. Then you have to sit in the parking lot. You have to drive out. You know, it's a friggin' thing. In
and it's not
where we were,
like a Florida beach.
No.
It's very,
yeah, I mean,
very cold and salty and rocky and...
Yeah, you got a whole bunch of people around you.
Yeah,
you know, it's not like, you know, it's like going to a concert, if you will. Everybody's around you. So, in Florida, where we are, and especially when we rented the beach home, I was basically there by myself. Like many times, there was nobody else on the beach. It was isolated, and I love the beach. I mean, if you can hear it in my voice, I love the beach. And then we had a little beach bungalow that we rented for many years. So, where my relaxation time came from was the beach. And I mean, I enjoyed like washing everything down after it had all the sand in it and cleaning up the house afterwards and just having a little bit of music in the background. My biggest regret, and I knew it would be, was when I stopped renting the beach bungalow. When I did that, I said, I know I'm eliminating my favorite joy. Now, the reason why I did that was my kids had all left, and then I was going to the beach by myself. So it made it was weird, and maybe it was a little bit like when you talk about PTSD, I really had a hard time when my kids left. Like, I thought I'd be a dad forever. And I know you're always a dad, but I'm talking about, like, one with kids home. You know, I really thought I'd be a dad forever. No one ever, like, helped me complete that thought process. Like, they grow. They, you know, they have babies, they move, you know, then what? Like, I was not ready for that. Like, my kids were always going to be my kids. And when they moved, it was devastating for me. So when I wound up going to the beach and there was no one there, it was really a lonely time for me. So my greatest joy wound up being less than that. So I said, you know, I don't remember what happened, but, you know, running a business, sometimes you're flush with cash and sometimes things are tight, and things might have been tight. I think I don't remember what happened, but I'm sure it was tight. And I just said, you know, I really don't need the expense. I'm hardly ever going there. And my kids aren't coming back. They're all kind of developing their lives. And I get it. You're like, that's what you want. But it's sad for me. So, but that was my recreation. Now I do a lot of stuff in the house, and I do a lot of stuff with outside and garden and stuff like that. So I'm certainly not lacking anything. And thank goodness some of my kids actually came home. So the beauty for me is I find relaxation. I can find relaxation in cleaning and doing work and doing the stuff that, you know, I just do. So anyway, so back to you. I never found it in games. I just never did.
I think you would love Minecraft.
I know. I'd be addicted. Yeah, it's the same reason why I don't do drugs.
Yeah, but...
Same reason why I never did drugs. I thought I'd be liking it.
That. We have a Minecraft server, and sometimes we'll just go on and we'll build something. We have, like, 8 or 10 of us now that we had all met. And, okay, so there's this thing called a mega build where server will open up with an architectural design that has been created in, it's called creative mode, where you have the blocks and you can, nothing will kill you and there's no surviving. There's just, you can build anything you want with a very extensive palette of all of these amazing blocks. But people will go in and they'll design a building, right? And then they go and they get X amount of people who are all master craftsmen level builders in this game, and they work together to create the game. And Alex had create this structure. And Alex had seen something on Reddit, and there was somebody calling for a master build that had been designed to create this mall. It was called the Galleria. Well, it was a shit show. It was somebody else's server. They didn't get the server size that they needed. There was a lot of people interested, and then, you know, there were people who were blowing the buildings up and spilling resources. It was just a mess. And that is actually how and why we ended up starting our own server. We asked the team that we ended up leading quite accidentally. It wasn't like that wasn't our intention. We were just going to go there and do the thing because we thought it would be fun to build with a bunch of people. And it ended up it was a lot of fun. What wasn't fun, what I found out, was that babysitting young teens from all over the world who, you know, I mean, you don't, it's really just, it's a hard time to be a teenager. And, you know, the complexities, I think, you know, there's a lot of complications and complexities in today's world that are introduced in, it's hard enough to be a teenager when your life is very defined and everybody's telling you what to think. When there are no limits, there are no structures, and nothing, everything is optional. Figuring out who you are is even, I think, more complex. So, you know, it ended up that I was called the server mom because I was so much older than everybody else and accepted the title. And the next thing you know, I was, you know, everybody's coming to me with their problems and with the problems they were having with other people. And then I stopped playing the game and I was just dealing with teenagers. And I'm like, you know what? I didn't even like my own children when they were teenagers. But I loved them enough to not kill them. And so I'm not going to be a bunch of people's mother that, you know, I am not their mother. So I, you know, I got burned out on it. And then recently it was interesting because I would say like 5 or 10 of the people that built this epic world. I mean, I tell you, it was really a thing of beauty. The builds were unbelievably incredible. It was done in the summer, but I would say 100 people, 15 to 17 hours a day, all built it together in about 90 days. All of them were on vacation, right, from college. We had, you know, you know, science majors in Oxford. And I mean, we're talking like smart and very talented people in college all over the world, all came together and had been playing this game since they were like 8 and 10 years old. And now they were like 20 and, you know, engineering students and all of these people were just so skilled and so amazing. But it ended up with all this drama, and I thought, okay, you know what I want to do? I want to build with some of these people that are all grown adults, that all have lives and jobs, and we'll just, everybody can just meet when they meet and play when they play, and they can play alone or they can play together, and we can just leave it open forever. So you would not have to you play when you can, and you don't when you can't. And one of these days, we're going to go in there, and I'm going to show you around. And then you choose to play or not. But I like to do it, and I like to game because a game is my family. And for me, I have had just as hard of a time with my family being in different locations. Pokemon Go with Susie and John and Alex and Liam, my grandchild. And Alex and I go out and about, we drive around and we do this stuff together instead of just staying at home. You know, like I found that I was home too much and looking at screens too much. And that it was fun. I could get out and about and walk and move and do stuff and look at a screen and be with my family all at the same time. So I think that it's, you know, I think that it just depends on who you game with. But, it's like we have a PS5 and we have Minecraft and we have, you know, like we all get into headsets with each other. And so it's straight up family time to game with my family. Like, we go in and we play 7 Days to Dead, whatever, the zombie game. We played that, all of us together. We'd go in and we'd all play Minecraft together, or we'd go in and we all get our phones and we go, you know, raid battle together, Pokemon Go. Like, I think that it is 100% family time for me, and that's, and it still connects me to my kids no matter where they are. And I think that
that's a great thing. Without a doubt, that's a great thing. Yep. When the game started, when my kids were growing up, because we had every game player on the planet, so it wasn't like my family wasn't into gaming. That the boys had them, my daughter had them, all the kids had them. So every time PlayStation came out with a 1, 2, 3, 4, whatever the hell it was, you know, we got the Wii, and we had so many game stations. We had so many different things. It was crazy. So a lot of the stuff, though, it was before the internet and before they were online. But I can definitely see the family ties being built and maintained by gaming online, without a doubt. It's just I never, I missed that. I just missed it. So,
and I bet like you typing. Contacted your kids and you said, do you guys still game? What could we all play together, even though we're not together, that we could, do you play Minecraft? Do they Diablo? Oh my God, Diablo. Diablo's a little dark. It's not a Liam level game. Ask if they Pokemon Go, because you have that iPhone, and I'm telling you, I bet you anything your kids and your grandkids are playing games that you could play with them, and that you wouldn't miss them so much. Because I tell you, it is the way that we all stay connected in my family.
I agree.
It is
I agree completely.
Pure, and it's fun.
Yep.
You know? It's a lot of fun. And you just ask them. I'm going to send you a list of the games, and you ask them. And whichever one they tell you yes, that's the one I'll walk you through.
Sure. Sounds good. Well, guess what? We are it's been a minute. It's been a minute, but I enjoyed this.
Me too.
Thank you very much for being here. And we have to get the intros and the commercials out of the closet. But next Monday's Memorial Day, so we probably won't be here.
Right. I'll be on the road as well. I think I don't know if we're leaving Monday. I have to ask my dad. My 80-year-old dad and I are driving up to Connecticut. We haven't been on this road trip in about a decade. And
wow.
It was 2015 or 16, 15 November, because I think I went to the Christmas tree lighting in Sandy Hook. And so, yeah, we haven't done this trip in a minute, and we're going up and doing the trip, and then I'm going to be up in Connecticut for a month and going to
the beard.
Yeah, it's Lila's first birthday, and Susie's 30th, so... Yeah, I haven't, she's standing on her own now, and she's doing all sorts of good stuff, and I haven't seen them since Christmas, so I'm super excited about that, and Bonnie, my best friend, will be up there for the month as well with her husband and kids, and so it's going to be awesome.
It's going to be a special trip.
Yeah,
I'm
really excited about it, actually. Now I just need to be able to afford it.
Yeah, I'm not kidding.
Okay. We got to talk about that next, you know.
And the really cool thing is your perspective is going to be so much different because it's been so long. You know what I mean? Like, you really relish everything. Like, the whole trip, the drive,
it's
long. You know what I mean? The stop, the sight, the everything.
I look at my dad, and he makes me crazy, you know. Like, I love my dad. I make him crazy, too. I mean, it's just, you know. A New York Italian mother-daughter relationship, so that's that.
Yep.
But it's, you know, I looked at him and I'm like, we haven't done this in a long time. I'm actually looking forward to it. He's like, I know. You know, we like the same music.
Right.
I thought my 80-year-old father never told me on the last road trip we were on that he had seen the Grateful Dead walk out on stage on an elephant in California, that he followed the Dead. He used to follow Jimmy Morrison. Jimmy Morrison, when he was still unknown, my father was at his shows. You know, he's seen the Eagles a bunch of times. So yeah, before I left, I took him to go see the Doobie Brothers, the Doobies and Journey, when Journey had replaced Steve Perry. I took him to that show.
Lead singer. Wow.
Yeah, but the guy sounded just like Steve Perry.
Oh, yeah.
It was unbelievable, but we really just went for the Doobies, you know, because live music is one of my passions. So I've seen a lot of bands, you know, and you know, so I got to learn a lot about my dad, things that I didn't know just because we were in a car for 20 hours, you know.
Isn't that crazy?
Way, yeah. I mean, he was a semi-pro basketball player when he met my mom.
Wow.
And he went to school out in California. Anyway, lots of
cool stuff
happened on the road trip.
Yep. So based on stuff, we'll be back in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And if you're having too much fun, we can move it around. So fun with family.
It's a different day, too. You know? I mean,
that's what I mean. We can move the times around. Yeah, no problem. Sweet. Okay.
All right.
Back to work for us, and thank you very much, everyone. I don't have an exit, so we're going to say bye for now. Happy Memorial Day for those people that celebrate Memorial Day. Drive safe, and we'll catch you next time on the Dash Radio. Thanks, everyone.
Take care, guys.
Thank you.
Bye.